This is the Cubicle Rebellion podcast, clocking in once again. I am Jeremy, your host and 8-hour ally. What's going on? So, I missed last week. I admit it. I don't know if anyone noticed. last Monday was Memorial Day, I think. So, I was clearly distracted. Threw off my rhythm a little bit, so I'm back and in effect. So like always, I'm just gonna get on here and kind of riff about some of the things and ideas I've been sort of chewing on for the week. My friend, he was on the podcast, a long time ago. Eric Mitchell, he was on here promoting his book, Black in a Blue World. And we were talking about, you know, police brutality and with black people and so on and so forth. And, so anyway, he just recently got back from Atlanta, him and his wife, and they were down there. And he got a chance to kind of, you know, rub shoulders with some notable names, which is pretty cool. He went to some sort of networking conference event or something. I don't know what it was. But, he ended up rubbing shoulders, took a couple of pictures with Tabitha Brown. For those of you that don't know, she's kind of a sort of a social media personality. And as well as Kev on Stage. He's a social media comedian, and it was pretty cool. So I was talking to him about that. And I was like, hey man, how'd it go and stuff? So we were texting about that today, and we were talking about the event in general, and I was like, I know you had to bring your book. Please tell me you didn't forget to bring your book. And he's like, oh no, I definitely did. And so we were talking about that, and he said he had Tabitha had asked for it when he had mentioned it, and kind of just spoke some kind words to him and encouraged him and stuff, and you know, kind of, you know, gave him something to look forward to. And I was like, man, that is dope. That's really cool, you know what I'm saying? So if you haven't heard, just check out his book. You know, he might be so anyway, we were talking about his he had a podcast at the time, and he had stopped for a while, and I was like, man, you need to get your podcast back up again. Excuse me. I was like, you need to get your podcast back up again. That way you can kind of drum up some more interest now that you kind of got that ball rolling again. And and he was like, yeah. He said, but, you know, how would I do that, you know, now? You know, it's been so long, and I want to get people to be interested in my book. And I was like, you know, that's a good question. And so I kind of thought about it, but it took me a minute to respond, but then it kind of hit me. I was like, you know, you think about it, it's easier to buy products from people, from creative people, when you kind of know who they are and you kind of got familiar with them. You know, you can't get someone interested in your product without getting them interested in you first. And that's what we were discussing. I was like, you know, when you think about it, I don't know about y'all, but I like to watch interviews of like different artists and, you know, Breakfast Club and just behind the scenes. I love that stuff. And listening to artists talk about what they do or talk about how they came up or just talk about themselves, you know, just their personality, their worldview. You kind of feel like you get a chance to know them, even though you never met them. And you sort of build that bond or that connection as a viewer or a fan. And inadvertently, it makes you want to kind of get involved in what they do. Even if you kind of were skeptical before. Like, for instance, I was, my wife, she told me about this Jack Harlow interview on The Breakfast Club, and I hadn't seen it, but she was like, man, you know, I never really listened to his music, but after watching that interview, I really just liked his personality. It made me want to listen closely. Now, I mean, I know he's got that song. I'm out of the swing of it a little bit, and I was like, you know, I wasn't really up on it or on what his music was. I just kept hearing his name. I was like, who's Jack Harlow? You know, but after I kind of listened to some clips and songs, I was like, oh, he seems like a pretty cool guy. Like, he seems like he's sort of taking this in stride. He seems like he's pretty grounded, blah, blah, blah. And that made me want to go listen to his album. Like, just enough of that. Like, just his whole... So I guess I just say that to say, into when it comes to creativity and artistry and whatnot, because this podcast is part corporate America talk, but also part speaking to that creative side, which I haven't done enough of lately. But I was just going to give my thoughts about that. But yeah, it's like, you know, getting a feel for who someone is makes a world of difference in terms of, you know, really getting people involved in your product. A lot of times we try to put the cart before the horse, and we just want to push a product on somebody without them getting to know who we are, without developing some sort of relationship. A lot of the products that we buy, even just basic products, is we buy because there's like an underlying relationship we have with that store or with that restaurant, or like this you like the way they they service things, or there's a personality that you're connecting with. Even if it's a business, there's a personality in the business, there's a culture in the business, there's a perspective that they have on how they do things and how they execute their service, or how they distribute their product. There's something about that that you're connected with, and that's what you're buying. You're buying their personality, essentially, by way of their product, whether it's a book or a song or whatever. So that's just a little thing I noticed. I thought I'd share. You know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to sell something, you know, you really got to start with your personality first. And I know that can kind of get dicey because people start feeling like they have to kind of get gimmicky. It's the difference between having a personality and being a gimmick. Personality is just is who you are. It's genuinely, like, and that takes some I think that's something that isn't talked about enough when it comes in terms of creativity and artist endeavors. Any piece of artwork or whatever you're drawn to that's successful or moderately successful, it's really because that person kind of has a good sense of self. And that's the starting place, and that's the starting point for anything really successful. It's just having a good sense of who you are. Not that you completely, you know yourself 360 degrees, no blind spots, but there's a certain settledness or comfort, or I'm trying to think of a better word than that. There's a certain level of self-esteem, I guess you could say, that a lot of the better artists or greater artists have, because they just have become settled. They know who they are. They know what they are. They know what they do, and they do that. There's no mystery. You know what I mean? And that can provide a lot of security. You know, and I don't know. All that got me thinking about just identity, creativity, dreams, fantasies, all that type of stuff. It got me kind of, as I do, I'm going to go down rabbit holes, but it got me thinking about how, you know, if you really consider it, like, creativity in a healthy sense really does come from a place of identity, a good sense of identity, you know. Like I said, it's acting like a son or a daughter versus acting like an orphan, in a sense, you know. Orphans have no sense of where they're from, or generally speaking, they have no sense of where they're from, or, you know, what their name is. But a son and a daughter does. They know who their father, you know, typically. I mean, I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying. It's, I know there's different scenarios for different people, but this is kind of a loose example. But, you know, they know their last name. They know who they are. They know where they came from. They know what city they're from, who they grew up around. There's a sense of self there. And if you find a way to create from that place, you know, you're good money. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. It's like a lot of creative people you find are creating for attention, versus creating like they already have the attention, in a sense. You know, there's a certain desperation that goes with trying to create for attention, because deep down it goes back to their sense of self and their identity. They need people to love them. they live for people's acceptance. You know what I mean? You know, and it's almost outside in instead of inside out. You know, but I don't know. I'm saying all these things. It's not as if I figured all this out or that I'm executing this perfectly. These are just some things I've noticed and things I've read and just, you know, have pondered on over the years. But just some things I thought about, like, man, you know, I'm seeing a theme here with those who are pretty successful and those who come off a certain, you know, gimmicky, or who come off another kind of way, or you just see where their motives are. You know, some people's motives are, you can tell they just, you know, they're in it for the, you know, the money and not the love, or, you know, they're cool with a one hit wonder and they can just, you know, get the bag and leave, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's just a difference in how those two scenarios move. You know, you almost have to find a place where you create like you already have access to what you need, in a way, you know, not to prove something, but because you are something already, in a sense, you know, it's finding that place where your worth and value isn't dependent on your productivity. Cause that's the other thing, is that, you know, you can get in that rat race of just trying to crank out things and, you know, quality goes down, but that's a whole nother subject. But I don't know, man. And then I started thinking about, like, the difference between a dream and a fantasy, because a lot of this, even myself included, I'm talking to myself, but, you know, pursuing a dream, you know, you're trying to get off your day job in pursuit of your day dream. You know, you hear a lot of dream talk on social media, you know, all that vague IG, Instagram wisdom or whatever, you know, but a lot of that stuff is so cookie cutter because there's no real specific blueprint. That's kind of the whole, that's really excuse me, I don't know why I'm burping so much. I think it's that kombucha I had earlier. But yeah, man, like, dreams and fantasies are two different things, I'm realizing, because a lot of times, you know, pursuing a dream, it's almost like pursuing like a calling, or it's something that's sort of pulling you. It almost feels like it's outside of you. Like there's something that you feel pulled towards. It's you know, it's just deeper. Fantasies, you know, are just sort of a little more like just outlandish. You know what I mean? Like, I want $1 million by tomorrow. You know, or I want to be, you know, they are almost, it's kind of hard to explain, I feel like, because fantasies seem like something that's completely out of the realm of reality, like completely out of the realm. Like there's no indication that's even going to be relatively possible for you. Dreams can be a bit outlandish, but when they're vocalized or when you think about it, it's sort of in you. It's deeper. It's in you for a reason. It's like you feel pulled towards it. There's some sense of, like, there's something in you that tells you that this is something you can do. And I think deep down, most people know, you know, what that is. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I think that's the truth. But like I feel like a dream, for instance, is somewhere between. It's usually made up of like three different aspects. It's like a dream is usually like a desire, a fear, or a frustration. You know, most of the time, artists and creative people are trying to interpret their dream. It's like when you go to sleep, you know what I mean? You have a dream about something and you're like, I don't know what that meant, but it felt like something that felt real to me. That felt like, you know, you would have those dreams where you're like, my God, that felt so, I feel like you were really there, or I feel like you really had died or whatever. You know, it's something really resonant in your bones, you know. And but yeah, like essentially with dreams, people are trying to find a way to interpret it. And usually it's as if they're saying like, help me interpret this desire or help me interpret this fear I have about my desire or help me interpret this frustration I have about my desire. Those are a few things that I've kind of noticed with just talking to different people. It's usually either, you know, it's like I said, it's that desire, the fear, frustration, you know what I mean? And how do I navigate through that, you know? And depending on who it is, the desire, the fear, and the frustration can be different things, you know what I'm saying? It can be, you know, the frustration can be like, how do I make money with this dream I have? Or, you know, the fear could be, how do I create time to do this dream? Or where do I find the time? Or will this even work out? Is it worth my time? You know? Or sometimes it's just like, help me interpret this dream. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to do this or that. I kind of don't know. I'm a little confused. Can you make this clearer for me? You know? Those are, I feel like dreams can be summed up in those three sort of pockets or categories. You know, and I think that's sort of the journey that we're all on in some sense. It's like, how do I make this, how do I bridge the gap from what I see in my mind, versus what I am seeing presently in reality? How do I bridge like what's in my head with what I see, you know? But I don't know. Anyway, I mean, those are just some thoughts I had, but they're kind of unfinished ideas, but just thought I'd share that with you. But just, you know, ponder on that, think about that, you know, just some things to kind of consider when you're on your own pursuit and creative journey. You know, sometimes I had to think about what I was going to talk about today, because I've been kind of on heavy on like the corporate America, blah, 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 you know, this, that, and the other, how society works kind of side of it. But sometimes I forget that this is all in pursuit of something else. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're talking to creatives as well as people who are stuck at their jobs. You know what I mean? And there's that other angle where it's not just being anti something, but being for something else. I'm for my dream. I'm not just anti working a day job, you know? And so that's what this episode was kind of aiming to do and aiming to be. But I'm going to try to hone in on that a little bit more so I can get more of a balance. But anyway, as always, if you enjoyed this, subscribe, rate, review, or don't. It is up to you. Either way, thanks for listening. Now get back to work. Time to get paid, blow. Time to get paid. Time to get paid, blow up like. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. And if you don't know, I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Promise it's all good. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. And if you don't know, I'm blowing up like you thought I would. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. It's all good. Get paid. Get paid. Get paid. Blow up like.